From the Hamilton Spectator, we're pleased to be joined by Drew Edwards on the Jason Greger Show. I am Dean Millard filling in. Drew, welcome to the program. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Excellent. Let's talk about this Hamilton-BC matchup tonight. And it's 4-1 versus 1-4, but this 1-4 Ticat team could easily be 2-2, couldn't they?
I hate to correct you. It's actually 3-3 versus 1-4.
Sorry, 3-3. Yeah, sorry. I was looking at the Eskimo lineup for a second. But this Hamilton Tiger Cat team could be 2-2. They might even be able to be 3-1 at this point.
That part of your statement is more or less correct. The first game against Saskatchewan, they got absolutely destroyed, and that didn't deserve to win that game, weren't really even in it. After that, I think they had a chance to win the Edmonton game late. They had a chance to tie the Calgary game late and botched the field goal, and they had a chance to, they were up late against the Bombers, last week. So those three games absolutely were winnable games for the Ticats, but didn't get it done in any of those situations, and so now you are what your record says you are, as what Dennis Green said. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
that's where they are.
So, how is that? Are they the glass half full or glass half empty team right now? Is that discouraging to them that they've been so close and they're 1-4, or is it encouraging that they can get right back in the race and the East Division is still winnable?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, certainly there's nobody in the East Division right now that looks like world beaters, and so they're, they have that going for them, which is nice. But at the same time, what you don't want to become is the team that can't win close games. And Edmonton was that team last year, right? It didn't matter what they did. They were competitive all the time, but they found a way to lose late, right? And, I thought Edmonton was a much better team last year than the record indicated, but they just couldn't somehow find a way to get it done, when it really mattered. And that came to personify their season, right? And it ultimately was their downfall. And that's what you're trying to avoid it through the Ticats, right? What you don't want is for that narrative, that inability to win close games when it really matters, to become the defining element to your team. And I think that's the worry, and that's what they're really trying to avoid.
Yeah, once that starts setting in throughout your locker team or your locker room, your team is just about sunk for the season.
Well, yeah, absolutely, right? What you don't want is, and fans feel this too, right? I mean, when you're watching a team that's constantly competitive but doesn't find a way to get it done, you get that, here we go again feeling, right? And I think players get that too. You just, when it becomes crunch time and the game is in the balance, you feel as though, that you're not going to be able to get it done, that something will go wrong, that fate is somehow against you. And once that feeling sets in, man, it's hard to reverse, that sense of doom that comes on in those situations.
The encouraging thing, I think, right now for the Ticats is Dan Lefevre. His play has been nice and encouraging and rewarding after what Hamilton went through in musical quarterbacks earlier in the season with some injuries and some inconsistencies.
Yeah, look, I think, Dan's played three good halves of football and one pretty terrible one. So, that's not a huge sample size, and I don't think we know necessarily what Dan Lefevre is going to be in the long run. But certainly, those three good halves are very encouraging. He's a guy that can move the sticks both with his feet and through the air. And that, in this sort of day and age, is sort of how you get it done, if you're a CFL quarterback. So that's encouraging. But, again, it's a small sample size. And, at some point, Zach Claros will probably, come back this year. And at that point, they'll have to make a decision about which way they want to go. But it's, it's a massive opportunity for Lefevre, who's a free agent next year. So he really needs to make the most of it. And given where they are, the Ticats need him to be successful in the short term.
What has Lefevre been doing well? What are the things that he's been doing that's making him successful?
Well, I mean, again, he's been able to move. He's been able to run the ball. He's the, actually the Ticats' leading rusher, believe it or not, and that's certainly helped.
Yes.
And that's opened up things down the field. I mean, LeFevre's second in the league in passes over 30 yards, and he's only had two starts. And, you know, Mike Riley leads the league in that category. But, you know, he's been able to throw the ball downfield, which isn't sort of his, you know, he's not a super strong-armed guy and a guy that you think about as a downfield bomber, but he's been able to do that. And I think part of that is the fact that, you know, when you run, you force linebackers and, to a certain extent, defensive backs to be conscious of that, to maybe push towards the line of scrimmage a bit more than they used to, and that opens up the downfield stuff. So, you know, as long as he can continue to be successful running the football in certain situations, that will open up, you know, almost every other element of his game.
As we're joined by Drew Edwards from the Hamilton Spectator, BC Place has been a graveyard for a bunch of teams going out there. The BC Lions, maybe not this year, but in past years have played really well at home. But Hamilton has played them really well at BC Place. What do you think the reason is that the Ticats have played so well at BC Place in recent years?
Well, it's funny. I mean, it actually, you know, they have had a recent run of success against BC. Two of those wins came at Empire Field while BC Place was being reconstructed. And so, obviously, they're not there anymore. The first one of those recent wins did come at BC Place before the reconstruction. Look, I don't think there's any, you know, rhyme or reason as to why these things happen. I think the Ticats have played well in those games. They've got some, you know, some breakout performances from guys in a couple of those games. One of the games here in BC was Chris Williams' best game as a Ticat. DeAndre Cobb had a huge game. Otis Floyd, who had, I think, you know, five interceptions in his entire 12-year CFL career, got one late against, you know, Buck Pierce in one of those wins in 2009. So, you know, it's been a place where unusual things have happened, or people have, you know, guys who are not on the radar, generally speaking, have done, you know, good things. So in 2012, it was Siobhan Walker. That was his sort of coming out game. He broke off a 95-yard run or something like that. So those are the type of things that happen, and that's kind of what has to happen if you're going to win in BC. Something unusual has to take place.
And would Andy Fantu scoring a touchdown be considered unusual this year? Because he doesn't have one yet, doesn't have a whole lot of yards. Is he just being blanketed in coverage and they're not able to get the ball to him, or is it partly on Andy Fantu?
Well, you know, he's missed some games. That hasn't helped. And I do think people are... you know, defenses do game plan for Fantu. He's one of the few Ticats, along with Gable, who I think, you know, defensive coordinators look to take him away if they can. So that does certainly, you know, play a role. But, I mean, part of it's the fact that this team has struggled defensively, right? So, I mean, his struggles have, you know, are part and parcel of the Ticats' struggle. So, you know, I'm not sure there's anything wrong with Andy necessarily. It's just a combination of things that have contributed to, you know, his lack of success.
Drew Edwards from the Hamilton Spectator joining us. In order for Hamilton to be successful tonight, they're obviously going to have to contain Andrew Harris or Stephen Logan. I guess it depends. The Lions have a pretty good 1-2 package, but Harris lately has been doing the damage, and when he gets running downhill, he's a pretty big load to handle. You know, who's going to be the key in stopping and you know, getting a couple of hats on Harris in particular?
Well, I think, you know, Simone Lawrence, you know, I think is having another, you know, excellent season. He sort of came on late last year and is leading the team in tackles and is on pace to break the team record if he keeps going the way he's been going. So, you know, Lawrence is a sort of an athletic linebacker type who can, you know, cover guys in space and can go sideline to sideline. That's a good matchup against Harris. I think, you know, a guy who's pretty versatile, you can't really key on him in the run game or the pass game because he does both so well. So, you know, and Rico Murray, their Sam linebacker, I think has been pretty good this season as well. So, I mean, those are the two guys I think you look at and say, well, those guys need to be up to the challenge of stopping Andrew Harris.
Drew, we appreciate your insight. Enjoy the contest tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.